Hello everyone, welcome to the Champions Rugby Show with me, James Burridge. As the countdown continues to the Heineken Champions Cup final, we speak to a man who knows what it's like to play in one of rugby's toughest tests.
Here's Phillips, Mike Phillips, there's the try!
My guest today played for Racing 92 in the 2016 Heineken Champions Cup final against Saracens. He's also played for Scarlets, Cardiff, Ospreys, Bayonne and Sale. He's Wales' most capped scrum half with 94 appearances, no less. It's Mike Phillips. Mike, thanks very much for coming on the Champions Rugby Show.
Thanks for having me on. Thank you.
One of the reasons we want to hear from you, obviously, we're looking ahead to the final, not so long to go now, for Exeter against Racing. And that was a club where you spent three happy years. And people talk about Racing. They know it's got this shiny new La Défense Arena. They've heard that it, you know, you can sign some big names in the Dan Carters and Johnny Sextons and yourself, of course. But tell us a bit about why you signed there, first of all. What is it about Racing which is attractive?
Well, they developed a brand new sort of performance centre, really, in Le Plessis Robinson, which was kind of state of the art. And, you know, that was really impressive. But at the time, they were still playing in the old stadium, which was really run down. And Jackie Lorenzetti, you know, he's a man with a vision. And, you know, the goal was to build this new stadium in the heart of Paris, in La Défense, which was more where all the business side of it is, goes on, and to try and connect more with Paris, you know, and the people of Paris. Because football is number one there, you know. I mean, completely different to when I went to France and playing for Bayonne in the south. I didn't quite understand it. I didn't think that people would recognise me, you know, walking around the streets or whatever. But, you know, everybody knew all the players and whatever you were up to. Completely different to playing in Paris and, you know, where nobody really cared about rugby so much. So it was completely different. But, yeah, and obviously they hadn't been in the top flight for that long, really. And they worked their way up and they were building a squad and building you know, a coaching unit as well, and bringing Rog O'Gara in there and a lot of experience. So, yeah, it was sort of boiling nicely, and bringing the likes of Johnny Sexton in and then Dan Carter. So, you know, they had some real serious goals and ambition. And, you know, it's great to see him again now in the final.
Yeah, isn't it just? And, I mean, when you look at the history of Racing, actually, they go back a long way, back to kind of the 1890s. Then they had the kind of the merger in the early 2000s. And then back in the top flight, when was it, around 2009, I think it was. So there is a real rich history and culture about Racing, isn't there? And they're kind of known as the kind of the aristocrats of French club rugby. Tell me about Jackie Lorenzetti, because he's kind of the guy who's financed this kind of rugby revolution in Paris.
He's a guy that's done obviously incredibly well in business, but he's a very humble, you know, humble individual. I mean, he would drive into work every day in one of these small little cars, and nothing, you know, he's not a show off kind of guy. And yeah, he was great for the players. He always had the players' backs. You know, he didn't want players living sort of in the middle of Paris and getting sort of too distracted, even though Jamie Roberts did. but he wanted, you know, like to get that self of community around the training ground, and for, you know, for us to become a family, and sort of those values which are, you know, so important to any rugby team. So just a really lovely guy. And if you win the game, you'd come in and he'd throw the jersey up in the air, and you get to keep the match day jersey, which was nice. And you know, little touches which he did one season pre-season, he sort of gave us this big speech which was passionate and, you know, delivered really well. And then he said, I want you to be like these guys this season. And we went on the back and there were these two massive tigers in his cages. And we were just sort of messing around with the tigers. But he was always there for the players. And like I said, he was a great motivator and just a lovely guy.
And he has had such an impact on that club. You mentioned actually your partner in crime there, Jamie Roberts. Didn't you guys have like a dinner club or something in Paris where you kind of, as kind of foreign players, you all kind of came together and would have a good session midweek? Is that true?
Yeah. I wouldn't say a good session. It was, Jamie sort of created that, to be fair to him. And he sort of, it was more about the foreigners really, and sort of, going around Paris, visiting different restaurants. So a player would choose a different restaurant each week. And yeah, we would sort of enjoy a glass of wine or whatever with each other. And yeah, it was a nice sort of way to get to see the city, mix with the boys. And yeah, it was actually where I met my wife, actually. So the following season, so when Jamie left. But it was, yeah, a nice sort of way to connect with the players and to see the city and, yeah, to bond, really.
What is fascinating, though, is that Jackie Lorenzetti brought across some huge names. Yourself and Sexton and Carter. We'll come on to Carter in a moment. But you obviously, and yourself included, you were part of this kind of foreign legion, weren't you, that he brought in. Tell me what it was like as being part of a kind of this Parisian existence. But there were some big names in that team, weren't there, during your time at that club?
Yeah, massive players brought in. I just, coming from a team like Bayonne, who are, you know, from a mid-table type of team at best, really, it was just the professionalism in the club. It was great, you know, far more like the British sort of rugby teams, you know, in terms of the video analysis and taking the data from training and, you know, recovery was great. There was a vast difference between playing for Bayonne, for example, compared to Racing, going into this new sort of lovely training facility. And yeah, it was just something that sort of, you know, your standards just went straight up, you know, every time you stepped to the door. So, and yeah, then they added in sort of players like, you know, the best players in the world, like Dan Carter in particular. And, you know, a team with real ambition and drive to succeed. So it was a really great period in my career. We won the league there. You know, we played the final in Barcelona in the Nou Camp. My last year, they were in front of 99,000 people. So, I mean, those experiences were unbelievable. So, and you know, so many happy memories, really.
Yeah, we'll come on to the final in a minute. And yeah, the Nou Camp moment was that was incredible to see rugby played in such a front of a vast crowd like that. You obviously played with Sexton, you played with Carter. I mean, tell me what it's like having those guys outside of you and how differently they play.
Yeah, it was probably the reason why we lost the final in 2016, because Carter went off injured. And it was great. I mean, it was the first time I played with him. They won the World Cup, didn't they, in 2015. And then the very next week, I was paired up with him to play against Northampton. I think it was the European Cup. Yeah, obviously the European Cup. And yeah, it was quite nice. I was kind of like the match day captain on the field because he didn't know any of the calls. He just arrived. So it was quite nice to try and boss him around that day, which was nice. And which I enjoyed. But the guy never made a mistake. You know, he never made one mistake. It was about sort of 7 or 8 games in where he dropped the ball or something. And like everyone sort of stopped and stared. We didn't know, you know, it was like everything he touched sort of, you know, it wasn't not always the most amazing thing, but just the correct decision time and time again, you know, kicking for posts, never missed, you know, always, you know, so accurate, so efficient in everything he did. And, you know, he glided around the pitch and he made everybody else around him look good. You know, he brought other players into the game really well. And I think that's the key, you know. And like I said, he wasn't not doing the flash thing all the time, but just constantly the correct decision time and time again. And that's what it takes to be the best in the world. So, yeah, it was phenomenal to play with him.
Yeah. And what kind of difference does that have on your game when you know I mean, he was the first kind of million-dollar man, wasn't he, in rugby? I mean, he was on a ridiculous contract, which I know you had a lot of fun kind of taking the mick out of him over. But what kind of impact do you think it had on you, Mike, playing outside or playing inside at the time the world's best player?
It was more of a moment for him getting to play with me, mate.
Than, that's what you told him, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, but no, I mean, we played sort of under 21s together. So, you know, we played age grades. And yeah, the best thing about him is what he's like, you know, off the field as well. He's humble and he enjoys a drink. You know, we went on tour to Hong Kong in a mid-season break, and I mean, I could write the autobiography about that trip.
We're listening.
No, you guys aren't paying enough. it was just, yeah, he's just great. And his influence on other people, a bit different to Johnny, I think, Johnny Sexton. He had his strengths, which are different because, you know, at the end of the day, we're all different, don't we? So, but yeah, so it was quite quality to have those kind of guys around.
And you shared that special moment, obviously, talk about the new camp, but equally, you made a European final, which was a big deal. And it was obviously hugely disappointing the way it kind of went wrong for the side and losing Carter, as you were talking about there. But take me back to that Racing team, because you were a very slick team at times. And when it worked, my God, it worked.
Yeah, my memories of that game was, obviously, we were playing Saracens and they were all about their defence. And their sort of kicking game was so efficient. And the heavens sort of opened up that day. I could not believe it. I'd never seen rain like it. And, you know, we wanted to play the ball. You know, our strength was moving the ball, getting the ball out wide. And obviously we looked at them and they had sort of blitz and we wanted to sort of play around that. And obviously when those conditions came in, it was just, it didn't really suit us at all, you know. So, and I suppose our kicking game wasn't as detailed as theirs. And it didn't really suit us. So that was a disappointment. Because I think if it would have been a dry ball, I think we'd have had a far better chance then of winning the game. But it sort of fell into their hands with the forwards they had, which were superb, very disciplined, very basic, but, you know, off the line and dominating, that kind of style. So a lot of kicking. Yeah, so, you know, fair dues to them, though. They won, you know, so we'll move on.
One of the things, Mike, I find fascinating about all you foreign players merging into Racing was how the communication was done. I mean, you had Rocafoco with you, you had Jamie, as you talked about, Jamie Roberts, Carter. Did you all train in French, speak in French? How did you manage a game? In what language did you manage the game?
No, all the calls were in French. And when you think about it, I mean, once you get, you know, rugby's all about patterns of play and you know, lines of running. And I guess you can call them in any language you want. I mean, once you get used to the plays, it's simple enough, you know, as a 9 and 10, you've got to add, you know, more than that, obviously. But no, that was never really an issue. And you're immersed in it every day, you know, the coaching is all in French. So you learn quite quickly, certainly the rugby terminology quite well. So that wasn't really an issue, I don't think.
And your coach then was Laurent Labbé, who's obviously gone off to France. And now Laurent Travers has kind of taken charge. What can you tell us about the way Racing like to play, their coaching philosophy under the two Laurents?
Yeah, they're both, you know, Laurent Travers is quite an individual. I've never seen a guy pre-match so crazy in the change rooms. Very, very emotional, you know. And yeah, that's part of French rugby, is to kind of show that emotion on the field. Yeah, very, very emotional guys. And, you know, both very detailed in their planning, and you know, they've been very, very successful since I've left as well. So, you know, two lovely guys again, and you know, when they show that emotion, you just want to represent them in the best you can, really. So quite inspiring individuals. So top coaches.
What do you make of how Racing's changed since you left? I mean, you left what, 2016, I think. So how impressed have you been by how they've changed and developed in what, 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of players who were in the academy, a lot of players who are just coming through in the academy, who are doing all those sort of, you know, washing up drills, washing up sort of chores in the round, and now those guys are in the first team, and it's great to see. They've got a really good sort of academy base where the first team train as well. They live there, they live and breathe on the grounds, and they've developed through some great youngsters, and that's, you know, they've invested in that massively, and it's, you know, it's proving its worth now. So I think that's the great thing to see, and I think they have sort of gone more towards, you know, the French youngsters and given them the opportunity, and which is, you know, which is important. And yeah, it's been great to see that, really.
And they've made another Champions Cup final after an astonishing final few minutes against Saracens at the La Défense Arena in the semi-final.
Right now, Saracens happy to do their defensive work. Drilled by Alex Sanderson along the 10-metre line. Now the little chip ahead, and Vakatawa, oh, he's managed to take it, gets it away to Russell, and Racing have to score, and the race for the final, and Imhoff gets there. Oh, that just might be one of the greatest moments in Racing's history. It might be the moment that knocks the defending champions out of the cup.
How well placed do you think Racing are to finally getting over the line and beating Exeter?
Well, they're coming up against an unbelievable squad in Exeter, and you know, how they've developed over the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years has been amazing, really, hasn't it? And Rob Baxter, isn't it, the head coach? He's some guy, and yeah, they've, you know, again, they're sort of intelligence in attack and their structure defensively. You know, they're a really tough unit to break down. So, and it's the workmanlike sort of team, which, you know, they never say die, and they're there for each other, and the team bond and team spirit is so evident. So a very tough team to come up against for Racing. You know, they're going to be tested in every single way possible. But yeah, I think the more flair, obviously I think there'll be a bit more flair about the Racing players. And I think it'll be, you know, a competition between the workmanlike players of Exeter against sort of, you know, the flair type play of Racing, really, and which one will come out on top will be very interesting.
There's one young player who's kind of developed and really come of age, and that's Teddy Iribarren, who I just want to get your take on as another scrum half. How impressed are you by his style, his game management, his understanding of it, and you know, how critical could he be in the final?
Yeah, I mean, he's had a great season. I mean, it's key. Scrum half, I may be biased, but there, as a scrum half, you know, it's key to any performance. And I think you look at sort of Faf de Klerk in Sale, how influential he is. Look, I think a scrum half in any game of rugby will touch the ball and have more influence than any other player on the field. You know, he decides whether he wants to pass the ball to the 10, for example. So if your 10 is playing well and he's confident, you know, you're in a good place. So yeah, they've got depth there at nine, and you know, it's a key position. And I guess, you know, going back to experience, you know, I guess they'd like a dry ball, dry conditions to try and play an up-tempo, skilled game, really. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
And what do you make of Mr. Russell outside him and just the way he plays? How would you have loved to have had someone like Finn Russell play outside you?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's brought his game on so much, and he's suited the French sort of style of play. There is structure, obviously, but you know, he can back himself and play the picture in front of him, and just, as we've seen, you know, create tries for anyone. You know, he seems to be like a free spirit, and yeah, he's been, you know, I think he'll definitely go on the Lions, for example. You know, I think he's developed his game so much. A couple of years ago, watching him play for Scotland, he would miss the odd penalty kick, you know, to touch, and it'd be kind of frustrating, but I think he's knuckled down, and he's, you know, he's some player. He's got some ability to create something from nothing, and you know, he's a quality player.
And we've done a lot of these podcasts, Mike, speaking to a number of big names recently, and a lot of them all kind of conclude with one thing: that a team's got to be ready to win a big tournament. You can't just suddenly just turn up, and you might be a bit too young, and you're kind of. Evolution as aside, when you look at Racing now, do you think they're ready to win a title, or do you still think they're a few years too short?
Well, that's a big question. It comes down to, like, you know, how many, I'd be interested to see how many players were part of that 2016 team, because I think we learned a lot from that loss. You know, I think that our kicking game wasn't good enough to compare to the Saracen kicking game, and adapting the conditions, for example, and hence after that game, we did knuckle down and did sort of work on a kicking game, which eventually, you know, we won the top cattles that year. So, and I guess it's taking those moments of, you know, when you do lose, and you know, you have to learn from it. So, it is a young side, though. However, so I'm not sure, have they been through enough tough times to sort of enough learnings to get to the mindset of and get the experience of winning, like you say. I don't know. It's going to be a tough ask. You know, Exeter are a top side, and they've been together for you know, a number of years now. So, like I say, it's going to come down to sort of the flair sort of moments of the Racing compared to sort of the more structural side of Exeter, really. So it's sort of, you know, it's all building up to be a great game.
Just to finish with, then, Mike, just paint a picture. Then, come finals day, Laurent Travers will be in the changing room. You talked earlier about the emotion that he kind of brings out of him, it kind of explodes out of him. Can you paint a picture of what that changing room will be like on finals day?
Yeah, well, another story. When Dan Lidgett was there in the forwards, before one game, I think it was against Brive away, he made all the forwards, like, link arms, sit on the floor, and all do press sit-ups together, and all in unison, sort of just, and Dan hadn't experienced anything like this before, and he is very emotional in the change rooms. He is literally, I've never, in all my years of rugby, he by far takes the, you know, takes all the plaudit as being the most craziest in the change rooms before any game. So he's extremely emotional. And I think, you know, the players will be we'll be ready for it, certainly in the final. And but I guess it's going to come down to controlling those emotions and making sure that they're disciplined and, you know, efficient in the right areas.
Do you get tears? Do you get the whole nine yards in terms of emotion in the changing room then, Mike?
No, there's one game. I thought his eyes were going to pop out his head. He is crazy, honestly. But he's a, you know, great guy and someone you just want to play for. And obviously, you want to try and, you know, do your best for him on the field because, you know, he's a lovely man away from it all. And he's got good stories. He used to play for Brive. So we always used to chat about the Pontypridd versus Brive games, which were very emotional games, to say the least. And he's a great guy and he's done an amazing job, you know, to, you know, getting the guys to the final and hopefully he can go all the way.
You've played in massive matches in your career, Mike, and it's often come down to little moments of genius here or there. What do you think this final will come down to?
It's like any game. I mean, you can't afford to switch off for a second, and it's going to be like every game. You know, the small margins, it's the best two teams in Europe. You know, it'll be a very, very exciting game because I think the two styles will be a bit slightly different, you know, with sort of this sort of flamboyant sort of game of racing, which they want to throw the ball around, and maybe a bit more of a sort of structural, sort of well-trained Exeter game. So, I mean, it'll be very exciting and, you know, certainly we're all looking forward to it.
Well, Mike, it's been great having you on the pod. Really appreciate your time and enjoy watching the final. Here's hoping your old side can finally win the European title they crave.
Thank you very much.
Great stuff there with Mike Phillips. Looking ahead to the Champions Cup final on Saturday, October the 17th at Ashton Gate. It's going to be live on BT Sport, Channel 4, Virgin Media, FRDA and beIN Sport. We can't wait for it. Thank you very much for your company on this week's pod. Next week, we will look ahead to the final, Racing 92 against Exeter Chiefs. So don't miss that one. But until then, from all of us, it's goodbye.